And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Glad to have you with me today. We're going to be looking at a very interesting subject. A little controversial, but I don't think we're going to try to dodge that, are we? No, that's no fun at all. Let's just go right into it. Let me just tell you, I've got a title here for tonight's, let's just say, the message you and I are going to share together, because I've always felt that my listeners are really part of this program. Many of you write to me, send me emails and letters, and get a few phone calls, and most of the time, most people agree with me. But whether you agree with everything I say or not, you're still my friend. I appreciate you. That's why I always start off the program, hello, friends, because I think that we're in this fight together. This is a battle, a war to the finish. And, you know, the Bible has 66 books from Genesis to Revelation, and it's not over, as the famous New York Yankees catcher and manager of baseball said, it's not over till it's over. Well, the Bible tells us in Revelation all the things that are going to happen, and then finally, it's all over. And we know who the victorious champion already is. But those are future things, but it does seem like the times are very imminent, and even Christ told us that we would be able to divine or judge the seasons. You know, you can know when things are getting pretty close. You may not know the day nor the hour. Now, I think one of the signs of the last days is treachery, liars, murderers. Just an incredible explosion of people you cannot trust. You cannot believe. But they can be such smooth operators. Oh, cunning liars. Deceptive people. Oh, and they could just drip with honey and deception. And, you know, these people can talk for 2 hours on a subject, and when they finish, you go away saying, what a marvelous orator. And then somebody says, well, what did he say exactly? Well, I don't know, but whatever it was excellent, you know. I want to talk to you about people just like that. I call them political chameleons and other lying lizards. That's pretty tough, isn't it? Tex Mars is just not a nice guy. He's just a meanie. He's just a horrible scoundrel. Well, all right, I'll add to my reputation today. I'm proving to you that I'm just an old scoundrel, because I like to talk and expose political chameleons and other lying lizards. And then I want to ask you the question. Maybe we can resolve it by the end of the program, although maybe you already have an answer. Your mind's made up. But please, please do me the favor of listening to this program and maybe reconsider. I don't know. Maybe you'll rethink it. But here's the question for you. Is it too late to rescue America from these unprincipled agents of destruction? Can we save ourselves and our country, our loved ones, our neighbors, from these political chameleons and other lying lizards? You know, back in my old Air Force days, I was stationed for a couple of years in various places in Southeast Asia, mostly in Thailand, but a little bit in Vietnam and Guam, and I can't remember all the places. Took some sojourns over to Tokyo, Japan, the Philippines, and so forth. But I remember in Thailand, we lived in basically what were just huts or shacks on the military base. And I remember as a young airman, I looked up at the ceiling on one of my first days there, and almost right above me on the ceiling, if you want to call it a ceiling, in that sort of hut-like structure, thatched roof and all, was a big old gecko lizard. Now, you know, they had these lizards, and the strange thing about it was they would climb you know, up the wall, and then they would run across the ceiling. And I never could figure out, this one was about 12 inches long. They could get quite long. I mean, you'd have to go to the dictionary or the encyclopedia to find out exactly how long, but I think I saw some, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't run around with a ruler trying to measure them, but some of them seemed to be about 18 or 20 inches long. Most of them were about 9 inches, you know. They were a lot bigger than the lizards I knew in East Texas. We had those little green ones, you know, about 4 to 5 inches everywhere. And these lizards, though, they're quite interesting. And but think of it, a big lizard, you know, 12 inches long or so, 16 inches, and they would just run across the ceiling. Here you are, you're laying in bed or sitting on a chair, and you look up, and right above you on the ceiling, how could they support their weight? Their little feet were really able to grab hold of it, of that ceiling. You know, you and I as human beings, we couldn't do anything like that, obviously. The geckos, they call them geckos. I find it fascinating now, you know, that the insurance company, Geico, has a little lizard. He's quite a popular character. He's has sort of, I don't know, was it Australian or New Zealand accent? Haven't quite figured that out, but he's quite an interesting character in those advertisements for Geico Insurance. Just the other night, I had never seen the original movie called Wall Street with Michael Douglas and Charlie Sheen. They say it's a classic about Wall Street operators, corrupt con men on Wall Street. Michael Douglas was one of the corrupt operators, and his name in the movie Wall Street was Gordon Gecko. He was like a lizard, wasn't he? Yeah, Gordon Gecko was his name, this lizard. Well, you know, I asked about the lizards to the other airmen. I said, what are we going to do about these lizards running around the ceiling? I don't want one of those rascals to drop on me while I'm sleeping or something. And they laughed real big because I was new there at the time, you know. And they said, oh, you'll get used to them. Let them go. They eat a ton of mosquitoes. They do us a lot of good eating mosquitoes. I said, well, will they bite people? Nah, they won't bite you. Okay, well, just leave them alone. They were like, you know, Arkin, the exterminator man, you know, killing all those critters you don't want around, mosquitoes and so forth. Okay. Well, lizards, they're a little unsavory looking though, aren't they? You know, unfortunately, there are human lizards too. And instead of mosquitoes, they eat other human beings. And sometimes they're silent crunchers. And you're dead before you know it. And they have long tongues, greedy tongues, that lash out at people when they least expect it. They're called Republicans and Democrats. And some of them are libertarians. There's even some independents. And there's quite a few now calling themselves Tea Partiers. But they're still lizards. And they're chameleons too. You know, chameleon evidently changes colors. If he's in green foliage, bushes and so forth, or grass, he turns green, his body does, to camouflage, to masquerade as something he's not. But if he's on a tree limb or something that's brown and tan, he turns that color. Whatever, you know, wherever he's at that he can get away with something and cheat and deceive, that's the color that he is. Doesn't that really remind you of politicians in America? They're just a bunch of lying lizards and chameleons. They really are. But the problem with these critters is that they are dangerous. They're poisonous. They're sort of like that Japanese, I forget the name of it, you know, starts with a K, I think. But I remember some Hollywood producer or something was Komodo dragon, I think they call them. Komodo dragon, yeah. Those things, I tell you, stick your hand out, it'll bite half your hand off. And I don't know about iguanas down in Mexico. I went down there to visit, and these little kids are all holding up iguanas, trying to sell them to the tourist. Who'd want to bring an iguana home? But it was sort of colorful. As far as I know, I was told that the iguanas, if you don't hurt them, they won't hurt you. Okay. All right. I won't bother them. Newt Gingrich is an interesting name, isn't it? We'll be talking about him a little later in the show. Former Speaker of the House of Representatives. Now he's a paid contributor to Fox News Network. The very word or name, Newt, that's the name of a lizard, isn't it? Newt. Sort of a horny toad type of a lizard, I think. Newt. Yeah, well, makes sense, doesn't it? For old Gingrich. Now, I want to talk to you about these lizards, these lying political chameleons. And I want to name some names to you today. Not to get you mad and angry, you know, hot behind the collar, but just because I think it's necessary. Because a lot of people are confused about party labels and about these men. And sometimes they come off as really being the saviors of humanity and really the lovers of America and the Constitution. But are they really? Why then, if these politicians care for us and our welfare as citizens, why don't they do what we want them to do? For example, illegal immigration. Almost every American you talk to, probably 80%, even the polls show, want border enforcement. Everybody agrees with the state of Arizona in its new law, which simply says it's okay to ask a guy, check to find out if he's a citizen or not. I don't mind him asking me. I'll show him my ID. I don't care. But the point is, the forces of evil are opposed to this because they want to break down, beat down America as a sovereign nation, as an independent sovereign nation. And they want to create chaos in America by bringing in tens of millions of illegal aliens. And then, of course, we have to pay for them with taxes and medical care and education for their kids and, my goodness, all kinds of goodies from the public trough. And you and I are going to pay for those. And even though about 80% of us are sick and tired of the illegal aliens, and we want to enforce the law which says they are to be kept from coming in, and then if they sneak in, they're to be discovered, tracked down and discovered, and deported. But everybody in politics laughs at you when you say that. If you told a congressman, Mr. Congressman, 80% of Americans want this. They go, well, it's not what we want in Congress. So you citizens just go jump in a commode and flush yourself down the toilet. That's sort of what they think of you and me, isn't it? Oh, they may lie. Say, oh, I agree with you, sir. Oh, I believe in enforcement of the border. Oh, yes. Liars. Liars. You know they're liars. If they really considered our interests, they wouldn't have given over the last few years trillions of dollars to the bankers. Pennies to you and me as taxpayers. They wouldn't be fighting wars for Zionism, Israel, and big oil over in the Middle East. Against a country, or countries actually, Iraq, Afghanistan, now Yemen, next, in Pakistan, next, Iran, that have never attacked us, never hurt us, never done anything to America, and are not even a threat. Well, you know, those mushroom cloud weapons of mass destruction Saddam Hussein had, Condoleezza Rice and Bush said. Oh, sure. But they didn't have them. Well, now, Ahmadinejad, he's a new Hitler. He's going to get them, and he's going to come over and kill us all. Kill your children. Slit their throats. Oh, really? How's he going to do that? What's he going to swim across the sea? They haven't got a navy of any sort. They haven't got any aircraft to reach us. Quit the nonsense, politicians. Zionist wars, bloodshed, trillions of dollars spent on unnecessary wars. And you know, unfortunately, in this respect, I think the majority of the American people actually like wars. I'm afraid to tell you, we've been conned into believing they're good things. You know, we fought in a worthless war against Vietnam, North Vietnam, for about a quarter of a century. Cost 50,000 lives. And what happened? Well, we ran to our planes and ships and left in disarray and embarrassment, our little tails between our legs. Well, it was the politicians that lost the war, not the military servicemen. I know that. It's always the politicians that lose a war. And it's the military that takes it in the neck, that die and suffer and give their all for this country. I know that. That's why I have the Vietnam Service Medal and all those things from 20 years of Air Force service. That's why I'm a retired officer. I want to serve America, but I don't want to send my grandson to fight some worthless war like I fought. Okay? When I was over there, I knew it was a worthless war. And after a while, I think even most military men agreed with me. But we soldiered on, doing our quote-unquote duty to our worthless politician commander-in-chief, first Lyndon Johnson, and then, you know, they just changed hats, Nixon and so on, Ford, whatever their name was. Didn't matter. They all belonged to the same political party. That's the money party, whether Democrat or Republican. We fought for about a quarter of a century in the Vietnam War. They won it. They took over South Vietnam. We left running. And guess what? The year's 2010, and now they're our ally over in Vietnam. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you go have your vacation in Saigon or Hanoi. Sure. You can visit the prison camps where the POWs were kept. Tourist centers. I'm not kidding you. In fact, our oil companies are helping to drill for oil off the Vietnam coast. They've got all kind of oil there. Makes you wonder, maybe that's why we were there in the first place. Maybe. The point is, we wanted to stop the dominoes falling of communism, so we fought for 25 years and gave up 50,000 men and a few women. Our very best, in my opinion, in uniform, gave their lives. Some of them came back without limbs, paralyzed, quadriplegic, in wheelchairs, treated like dirt as veterans. Yeah, they were. Not like today. They're treated like heroes today from Afghanistan and Iraq. Well, I don't think you're either a hero or a dirtbag. Spend the military time in the military service. You're just trying to serve your country. But there were some heroes, of course, that won various medals. I had a lot of friends like that and appreciated them so much. They were courageous people. I'm not trying to denigrate. I'm just saying the average guy, you know, doesn't like save a platoon of troops or, you know, like Sergeant York in World War One, fight and shoot and kill about 100 German enemy. But the average troop still deserves a lot of credit. And I hold every military person in high respect. It's not their fault they're fighting in worthless wars. There's a little book out by a former commandant of the Marines, a top general in the Marines. But when he retired and began to think about it all, he said, you know what? I fought all over the world, and I think he was in uniform 40 or 50 years, retired as a major general commandant of the Marines. He said, I can't remember one war that was really anything but useless. So he wrote a little book. You can get it. You can order it. It's called War is a Racket. War is a Racket. Well, now both the Democrat and Republican Party vote for war every time. Bush, Cheney, war. Obama, Biden, war. It's as if we're stuck in some rut. War, blood, death, injury, maiming. Now, we lost 50,000 in Korea, 50,000 in Vietnam, and I don't know how many thousand we're up to now in the Middle East. It's really a tragedy and a pity. We've spent trillions of dollars, so much so that we have a gigantic deficit. We have a deficit. We've been spending too much money. We have a huge national debt. But don't worry, Obama has set up a bipartisan commission. And Republicans and Democrats are part of it, most of them retired politicians, like Senator Alan Simpson, former U.S. Senator from, now retired, from Wyoming. He's the co-chairman. I know Simpson. He's a no-good, filthy, lying, devil chameleon. There you go. Now you know what he is. He's been put on that commission that is going to come out with a report early next year to tell America, Congress, and the president where to save money. I already know where what he's going to say. Hey, give me 15 minutes. I'm a writer. I've written over 40 books. Give me 15 minutes and I can write their report. I know what it's going to say. We have a big national debt. We got to cut the deficit. The way to do it? Take it from the common folk. Tax them more and take away their entitlements, their benefits that they have paid into all their lives. Shaft the average native-born American citizen, plus a few foreign-born that are naturalized as well. Meanwhile, it's okay to go ahead and take billions, trillions, and give to the illegal aliens. But they won't be illegal aliens anymore, because what you need to do is go ahead and put them on the fast path to citizenship through something called immigration reform. We have up to 35 to 50 million illegal aliens. They claim 12 million. Shut up. They lowball it every time. Much higher than that. And all of these 35 to 50 million illegal aliens from Mexico, Pakistan, China, every country on earth living in our nation, are now going to be given the fast track to citizenship so they can vote and vote for more welfare and more benefits and goodies for other illegal aliens who are also going to be coming in droves from all over the world. Friends, they don't have to redistribute American taxpayers' money to other nations in foreign aid, because all the foreigners are all coming to America to live and they're going to get it right here. Don't worry about outsourcing of jobs anymore if you've lost your job, because all the foreign workers are going to come work here and then they'll accept peanuts. There'll be so many of them. Immigration reform. That means amnesty. That means more and more. When you give all these millions amnesty, then others across the world will say, well, all we have to do is come across the border or get a travel visa and fly out on an airplane and stay. As a student or whatever, they're not going to make us go back. They don't deport anybody. Oh, well, a few token, 100, maybe 1,000 or so a year, just to make it look like they're doing something, to fake everybody out, lying chameleons. We can stay. And then we can get Social Security, free medical care. We can get our children free education and free in-state tuition, free or in-state tuition at colleges. We'll have it so good in America. And those stupid native-born Americans will pay for it all. And listen, Alan Simpson, Senator Simpson, and his Democratic counterparts on this commission on how to cut costs and cut the budget and reduce the national debt, you know what they're going to say? We need to raise the Social Security age to about 70. We need to cut Social Security benefits. And if you've got other money in your bank account, well, we won't give you anything for Social Security. We need a means test. Do you have the means to support yourself without Social Security? Then we won't give you Social Security. Even if you're 80, 90 years old, we won't give it to you. You don't need it. So we'll give it to all these illegals that they need it more than you do. You say you paid into Social Security for 50 years of your working life and you deserve it? Well, too bad. Thank you for contributing to the Social Security Fund and the Medicare Fund for 50 years. What do you say? We're stealing your money? Sir, you're not a racist bigot, are you? You don't mind us giving 50 years of yours and your employer's contributions to illegal aliens, do you? Anyway, they're not illegal aliens anymore. We don't have any illegal aliens in America. We made them all citizens. Juan Gonzalez, who can't speak a word of English, who snuck in America, is a citizen now. We took a rubber stamp and stamped him on the back. They used to call them wetbacks. Now they're going to be calling them rubber stamp backs. Citizen, citizen, clamp. Citizen, 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 citizen. Here's your benefits, sir. Trillions for bankers. Trillions for illegal aliens. Trillions for Zionist wars and bloodshed. Trillions for economic manipulation. Trillions for a big brother police state, and we're paying it. They're not going to say, we need to cut back on Homeland Security and all this trash going on at airports. We need to cut back on FBI sending out spy drones watching people. We need to cut back on Homeland Security and the IRS and the FBI and CIA and everybody snooping around at what library books you've been checking out or what you've been buying or what, you know, websites you visit or what newsletters and magazines you get and read. We can't stop those trillions spending for that. Those budgets. No. We've got to take away your Social Security and Medicare money. You know those funds you gave into all those years? That's what we're going to take. Do you think that this commission would come back and say, if we brought all the American troops back from overseas in the 120 countries they're in, closed all those air bases over there and military bases over there, and put all our soldiers on the border right here in America and put them to productive work, we could save trillions? They're not going to say that. We're going to continue the grinding, deadly wars. And then, of course, they're going to need billions more for the environmental hoaxes. Climate warming, global warming, climate gate, you know, all that kind of stuff. Folks, it's a scam, and all of the politicians are part of it. They create chaos, and they're going to bring you the order. We need a bigger Homeland Security. We need a bigger military force. 120 countries we're in around the world? Well, there are 175 countries. We need to be in all of them. I mean, friends, we'll probably pay North Korea. We'll end up paying North Korea and its dictator president several hundred billion dollars for the opportunity to let us open up military bases there. That'll probably be the outcome of the North Korean thing. And, you know, if I were the Minutejet, I'd just tell America, okay, I won't have any bombs in. I won't build nuclear bombs. And I'll tell you what, America, I'll let you build 20 or 30 military bases here if you'll give me $1 trillion. I bet Obama would do it. Then we'd control them. We'd be big brother for the Iranians. But they could drive around in their Mercedes and their Rolls Royces just like all the Arab sheikhs do down in Kuwait and United Arab Emirates and all that, that we're paying for because of all the crooked politicians. Now, when we come back, I'm going to tell you exactly why this happened, and I'm going to name some names for you. You might be surprised. What about Newt Gingrich? What about Sarah Palin? What about John McCain? Many, many more. We'll talk about them. We'll expose them. We're looking at political chameleons and lying lizards. I'm Tex Mars. Won't you stay with us? I'll be right back after this brief message. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars. If you have not got my book, Conspiracy World, I hope you'll order it. Conspiracy World, 432 large format pages, a lot of dozens, scores of photographs. It is an amazing book, Conspiracy World. It's a truth teller's compendium of forbidden knowledge, things that you're not supposed to know about, but, well, that's my job. And I've been here for over 24 years doing it. Now, before that, I did some other things. I spent a full 20 years in the U.S. Air Force. Then I had a high-tech company, published high-tech books, and wrote many that were selected by the Computer Book Club, Electronic Book Club, and others. Then I began writing books exposing the darkness. And boy, all hell broke out then. People seemed to like all my books on computers and robotics and high technology that I wrote for so many years. But the minute I started to write books about dark secrets of the New Age and Circle of Intrigue and Codex Magica, boy, people just got mad at me. I don't know why. I guess it's because of some of the big names, the Kissingers and Brzezinskis and Bill Clinton, Hillary Clintons and all that I named. They didn't like that. And, of course, they sent the IRS to audit me for 3 or 4 years and the FBI to visit me and all kind of things happened to Tex Mars. But you know what? I had a big friend. I had a bodyguard. He took on all comers. He didn't beat him over the head. He just had me tell the truth. Seemed like the truth won out. I'm still here. I'm still cracking. And all I've hurt are the political lying chameleons. I've hurt their feelings a little bit. They need a lot more hurt put on them. But I'm not the kind of guy to do that kind of stuff. I'm not even going to incite anybody or encourage anybody to do it. You see, my bodyguard is Christ Jesus. You know, I love the Bible where God said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." Can you imagine? Can you imagine having God as your defender, the defender of your reputation? A lot of people lie about Tex Mars. I see stuff on the internet all the time. Boy, if I was at Tex Mars, I wouldn't like myself very much either. They say stuff that you just wouldn't believe about me on the internet. I'm thinking, wow, that Tex Mars is a real, he's a devil, isn't he? But then I think, well, that's not even me, though. Where'd this guy get this stuff? Oh, my goodness. But that's okay. You know what? I still have friends everywhere, all over the world, that write to this ministry, that send me emails, that listen to our radio program, that access our webpage, powerofprophecy.com. I do. I'm still invited to conferences more than I can go to. Most places I'm invited, I just don't have time to go to. I thank the kind people for inviting me, but I just can't do it because I'm just too busy exposing the evildoers. And you know, as far as I know, we're the only Christian ministry doing this. Not that there's not some Christian ministries doing a lot of good, but we're about the only ones out there exposing the evildoers the way we do it. And we've been here for many, many years, and that's why they've tried to shut us down. But I believe, listen to me now, friends, it is your prayers that have kept us going, and my prayers too. God hears our prayers, and he's not going to let us be shut down until he says so. You know, I've got his label on me. I've got his label, his mark. There's two marks. There's the mark of God, which is the Holy Spirit in your heart. Then there's the mark of the beast. And that's going to actually be a physical mark. And a lot of people are going to invite it into their lives. They're going to want it, that bodily, physical mark of Revelation 13. But you'll now know what it is, and we're going to refuse it. No, no, not for us. And we'll be able to discern what it is at the time, because God is our protector. Now, I wrote Conspiracy World, and it covers 137 different aspects of conspiracies. All kinds of things. Amazing things. And, you know, we've never had one of them returned, as far as I know. You know, we sold thousands of books, Conspiracy World. And I want you to know something, friends. I do not receive, I do not ask for any royalties on my books. All the money goes into the ministry, and then we spend it. We spend it on radio program time. We spend it on sending out thousands of newsletters. We spend it on our web page. We keep our ministry facility going, and we've been here. I don't know, Jerry. Jerry's our broadcast engineer. I'd say 15 years, maybe, this location. In 25 years' time, almost, we've only been at, let's see, two different locations, over in South Austin, Texas, and then here out in the west part of Austin, Texas. Yeah, so we've only been in two locations for 25 years almost. And so if the enemies of God want to know where to find me, I'm right here. I'll invite them in. And, you know, when they come in, I usually have them take a seat and give them a Coke or a cup of coffee. I think they're sort of shocked. They think I'm going to get out a shotgun or something and run them off. We don't do that. We're friends of everybody. Who knows? Miracles can occur. They can be turned around. It's amazing what God can do. But as far as this ministry, Power of Prophecy, we are truth tellers and we are friends of everyone. They may consider us or themselves our enemy. But for truth's sake, we consider even our enemies, so-called, to be our friends. Conspiracy World is the book. I've said enough about it and about our philosophy of loving folks here. And if you don't believe me, then I hope you'll meet me someday. Most people are very surprised. They said, I thought you were going to be very austere and hard. And but you smile a lot and joke a lot. Well, why not? I know where I'm headed. I know where I'm going. I know why I do what I do. I'm not afraid of anything. I don't have to run around being angry at people and mad at them. And, you know, I get letters and they say, did you know what Pastor so-and-so on the radio said about you? Did you know that they wrote a mean column about you in some newspaper in California or somewhere? Texas, have you read that? And I said, yeah, I read that. It's sort of comical, isn't it? Doesn't bother me. I've learned a long time ago, just take it easy. Just have fun. Keep exposing things. Keep doing the Lord's work. You can't go wrong. Even if the whole world turns against you, you only need you and God. That's all you need. That's a majority of two. He doesn't even need you, but we do need him. So there's two working together. Well, our book, Conspiracy World, is $30. Actually, it's $25, but add $5 for shipping and handling. That'll get it to you postpaid. And we'll get it out in just a couple of days here. That's the way we do things. We honor you with fast service. We work very hard. We've worked a lot of times overtime when we need to get out our books and videos so we can serve you. That's what we're here for. We serve you. We serve God. It started not in that order. It's God first, then you. And then we serve ourselves third. Everybody gets taken care of. See, when we can, we serve ourselves. We don't always do so well. I know we've had to cut off benefits to our employees. We've had to lay off a few employees. But yet we keep going here. We're going to keep going until Jesus comes again. Or we all get old and gray and die. And then we'll be with Jesus. Now, let's return to our regular program. I want to tell you, of course, about our address as we transition back. We're here at Power of Prophecy. That's where to order your book. Write to 1708 Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can phone us and order too. And remember, we'll always either update your subscription or we'll give you a brand new subscription if you don't have one to our monthly newsletter, Power of Prophecy, when you order anything from us. You can even order a copy of today's radio program for $8, add $5 shipping and handling. It's always $5. We sort of make it uniform. That makes our job easier. We don't have to weigh every little thing, you know. I mean, we do when it goes out, but when you call in, we don't have to weigh it in advance. And so we just say $5 shipping and handling for everything. Okay. But today's program is, of course, called Political Chameleons and Lying Lizards. So ask for the one about the lizards. And everybody here will know how to help you. I want that program on the lizards. You can order it for $8 and $5 shipping and handling. Or the book, Conspiracy World, this huge encyclopedic book that exposes 137 different conspiracies. Okay? Again, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Phone us toll free during the work week. That's 1-800-234-9673. 1-800, toll free now, 234. See how easy it is? 9673. Let's return now to our regular program. We're talking about chameleons, political chameleons, lying lizards. And we don't care what party they're with. They're all the same. They're the money party. They're controlled by the money people. You know, I think Andrew Jackson, President Andrew Jackson, back in the 1830s, sort of had their number. He just called up the bankers. And he said, with the help of God, we're going to rout you out. He called them vipers. Boy, that's sort of like Jesus did. Serpents, he called the money-hungry Jews. You serpents, who hath warned you to flee from hell and destruction, said John the Baptist. And Andrew Jackson knew him well. And I don't know of but a couple of congressmen, maybe you do, who are not vipers and serpents. Take, for example, let's name one at random. How about Sarah Palin? You know, Newsweek magazine last week had Sarah Palin on the front cover, her hand in sort of a worshiping position. Her face was all aglow, and she had like a light around her. I guess they had an artist go in and add on to it. And the cover said, Saint Sarah. Saint. She's a saint. And it asked the question right on the front cover of Newsweek magazine, what Palin's appeal to conservative Christian women says about feminism and the future of the religious right. And I go inside and read in the magazine, and evidently, according to Newsweek, the Christian community around America, especially the evangelicals, consider Sarah almost a prophet of God. That's what some are saying. She's a woman prophetess of God. She's a saint. And Newsweek itself says that basically, as far as Christians are concerned, she's taken the place of the old moral majority in Jerry Falwell. She's the new Jerry Falwell, but she's feminine. She's a woman. I think the elite have decided, you know, the old days of the old televangelist is gone. We're going to have somebody new to inspire the Christian evangelicals so they can vote exactly like we, the Illuminati, won't. That's the Republicans, but they're going to do just what the Democrats did. They just don't know it. They're too stupid to realize. They'll do whatever Saint Sarah says. That's what it says there. She's the new Pat Robertson of the 700 Club. She's the new Jerry Falwell. They're too old. Falwell, of course, went on. He's got his reward wherever it is. I hope it's in heaven. Pat Robertson's up there in age. But comes Saint Sarah. Now, Newsweek mentioned that Saint Sarah doesn't talk about Jesus at all. Nobody ever hears her mention the name of Jesus. In fact, she says that she got her religion through nature. The beauty of Alaska, the snow and the beautiful trees and the gorgeous waters and ice flows. And yeah, Sarah says that through nature, through God's creation, she drew closer to him. Well, you know, the Bible says that a lot of people worship the creation instead of the creator. They call the creation, these people do, God. Al Gore, who is a chameleon if I've ever met one, in his book Earth in the Balance, says that nature is God. In fact, that's a quote. Nature in its fullness is God. It seems that Saint Sarah says the same thing, practically. But you can read her biography called, you know, Going Rogue. And some friends of mine read it, and they said, Tex, she talks about God and the creation and the beauty of nature, but she never says she has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. She never says she's been saved. Her sins have been forgiven, washed away by the cross. Well, we got a new world now. New Age world. Saint Sarah's part of it, and Jesus is not. Now, Saint Sarah has been going around endorsing candidates all over America. And it goes a long way in helping them win. She did that to Ron Paul's son, Rand Paul, who ran for high office in Kentucky. Rand Paul. And I thought it was just because he was a conservative. I said, well, that's good. Now, it's strange because Saint Sarah endorsed Scott Brown, I forget the guy's name, up in Massachusetts that beat the Liberal Democrat in the People's Republic of Massachusetts. Scott Brown, I think his name is. Yeah. And Scott Brown is a flaming liberal, believe me. But the Tea Party somehow thought he was different and they voted for him, and St. Sarah endorsed him. Now, St. Sarah also endorsed Carly Fiorina, who's running on the Republican ticket for governor in California. She was running against another Republican who was very conservative and was pro-life. But Miss Fiorina is pro-abortion. Well, who would Miss Palin endorse? The Republican who was conservative and pro-life, or the feminist gal, Miss Fiorina, who claims to be conservative but is really not, and is for killing little babies? Well, it's not even a contest. St. Sarah endorsed Carly Fiorina, the abortionist. And then down in Arizona, St. Sarah goes down there and excites all the people. You see, John McCain, who's pro-immigration amnesty, pro-war, anti-constitution, all that, McCain's in trouble because there's a guy, used to be a congressman named J.D. Hayworth, who is really fighting against illegal immigrants that are torturing Arizona like they're torturing many American states. And Hayworth, and I'm reading right now from a website, a news website that says March 18, 2010, Hayworth close to defeating John McCain. He's within a few points. And he was just endorsed by Americans for Legal Immigration, called ALIPAC, the Americans for Legal Immigration. They're against the illegals. They're for deportation. They're for enforcing our borders. ALIPAC, they're called, this group of Americans. Seems that John McCain hates this group, though, because he's for amnesty. And in fact, McCain's campaign put out a national press release that ALIPAC was supported by the KKK. Of course, that turned out not to be true, but McCain didn't even apologize. Well, McCain hates them, calls them KKK just because they believe in enforcing the law. But McCain, because for all those years he voted over and over again against enforcement at the border and for amnesty. In fact, he helped George W. Bush try to get that law passed. Remember that? Well, surely St. Sarah endorsed J.D. Hayworth, who is a real conservative, not a liberal like McCain. And Congressman Hayworth has won the endorsement of Americans for Legal Immigration. No, she didn't. No, she didn't. She went there and campaigned for John McCain. What's that all about? Well, at least she was for Ron Paul's son. Oh, that's good. Oh, wait. You got to understand something. Rand Paul is supported by the Zionist groups, AIPAC, the ADL, the American Jewish Committee. Go on his website and you'll find out why. He's an Israeli puppet. He's an Israeli puppet. He's going to be for the war in the Middle East and more wars against Iran. I have never seen such groveling by an Israeli puppet like I saw on Rand Paul's website. He's a Zionist puppet boy, sock puppet, I call him. And Sarah Palin is too. She was chosen by the Jews to run as McCain's vice presidential nominee. And she was probably told, you will support Rand Paul. And Rand Paul was told, you will put a policy statement on your website, campaign website, that goes, I love Israel. I'm a Zionist. And he did. And she did endorse him. There's always a reason for things like that. You know, before the last election, I did a audio tape. I don't know if it's still available. It's called Jousting of the Misfits. Not available, Jerry tells me anymore. Jousting of the Misfits. McCain and Obama as Illuminati sock puppets and the stupidity and danger of trusting politicians to clean up America and set things right. Did you know that Lynn Forrester Rothschild, the wife of one of the most powerful of Rothschilds, Evelyn Rothschild. He's a man, but his name is Evelyn. You know, I don't know why that is, but she endorsed Obama. The Rothschilds endorsed Obama. Their money bag man, George Soros, the Hungarian Jew, also endorsed Obama. Wow, Rothschild was for Obama. McCain must have been clean. Hold on. The fact is, John McCain was invited over to London, and he went. And there, Lord Jacob Rothschild and his son, Nathaniel Rothschild, got all of their billionaire bigwig friends together, and they threw a big banquet for McCain, and they donated millions of dollars to his campaign, even though it's illegal and a criminal act to accept money from foreign sources. McCain did it, and I'm telling you, friends, the Federal Elections Commission has said nothing about it. At least Lynn Forrester Rothschild, who gave money to Obama, lives in the United States. You know, there's United States Rothschilds, there's French, there's Belgium. I think there's a South African or two Rothschilds. And, of course, Lord Jacob over there in Great Britain. And they're all piping in millions of dollars of illegal foreign contributions to Democrats and Republicans. Well, they own both sides. And then it doesn't matter who wins. They're not sweating it. They got both sides covered. Now, who's going to win the next election? You know, the Zionists are cranking up a guy named Eric Cantor. He's a Republican, a congressman in the House of Representatives. Looks like he could possibly be a vice presidential candidate. Of course, he's Jewish. Now, on the Republicans, Democrat side, they've still got Obama. And if he flames out, well, they've got Hillary Clinton, and she's Jewish. That's right. Her grandmother spoke Yiddish at home and all that. She was a Jew, too. Okay, she admitted it in the New Yorker magazine in an interview when she ran for senator up in the state of New York. So it's either Obama, who the Jews put in office, and that's why we continue the wars in the Middle East, or it's, of course, going to be Hillary on the Democrat side. And if something were to happen to them, it'd probably be Senator Chuck Schumer of New York, who's a flaming Zionist and a war hawk, if you've ever seen one, and pro-illegal immigration as well. That's on one side. Meanwhile, the Republicans are casting around maybe Sarah Palin, who's a Zionist flaming whatever, on one side for the Republicans. She may run. Or, on the other hand, it could be someone like Eric Cantor. Who knows? Might even be Rand Paul, since he's a Zionist sock puppet. But already I understand that they're grooming Newt Gingrich. Now, after three marriages and a bunch of affairs and all kind of corrupt things, they think American people probably forgot those things. And they're already rehabilitating this guy. Did you know he's writing books for Christianity? He's converted to Catholicism. And James Dobson, the Protestant, well, he doesn't call himself Protestant anymore, had Gingrich on his radio program. They've rehabilitated adulterer Gingrich now. He's getting ready to run for president, he says. Meanwhile, he's got plenty of money because Fox Network News, Rupert Murdoch, the Zionist pig, is giving him that job as a paid contributor or you know, editorialist for Fox News. Every time you turn around, he's on the Greta show or the O'Reilly or Hannity shows on Fox Network. You know, I wrote a book called Circle of Intrigue, The Hidden Inner Circle of the Global Illuminati Conspiracy. I talked about Gingrich. Newt, the lizard Gingrich. Talk about the fact that Gingrich claims he's not a member, but he was an invited speaker at the Bohemian Grove. He was a speaker at the Bohemian Grove. He claims he's not a real joiner, but wait, he's a member of the World Future Society. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, as, by the way, is Senator Alan Simpson, the guy who's going to tell us how we're to cut the deficit by taking away your Social Security and Medicare, or at least taking a lot of it away from you. Now, it seems that Newt Gingrich was the guy that gave us NAFTA, the World Trade Organization, when he was Speaker of the House. That's why he's a member of the World Futures Society and the Council on Foreign Relations. But one of the things Gingrich did, and I have this beginning on page 170, is he has endorsed a book by Alvin Toffler and his wife. Toffler, T-O-F-F-L-E-R. He wrote the best-selling book, Future Shock, back in the 70s. But in the, leading up to the 21st century, he wrote a book entitled, the Tofflers did, Creating a New Civilization is the title of it. Creating a New Civilization. They don't like the old one. They say the Constitution of the United States has to go. And nationalism, that's passé. That's old hat. That too must go out the door. They said what we support is a revolution, a new civilization. No more nations. End of American sovereignty. New third wave economies. As nations are compelled, required to surrender their sovereignty, we will have a borderless world, a planetary consciousness. I'll get a little New Age lingo there. Culture, values, morality must all come together. Only one religious belief. No more Christianity. It's all got to come together. And then the Constitution of the United States, I'm going to quote them exactly. Now, I'm going to show you where Newt Gingrich is implicated in this just a moment. They write, the Toffers do in their book, the Constitution of the United States needs to be reconsidered and altered to create a whole new structure of government. We must build a third wave civilization on the wreckage of the old. They want to wreck America, then build a new civilization. The system must die and be replaced. The Constitution, America as we know it, must die. That's their words. Exactly. I'm quoting them. Who would endorse such a book? Who even on the front cover has their name on it as having written the foreword for the book? Well, that would be Newt Gingrich, the lizard. And you know something? I have the cover of this book pictured on page 173. And there's a circle. And there's either lizard or serpent skin with all the scales, green color inside that circle of the book, Creating a New Civilization. Newt Gingrich, Republican. Well, he could be a communist Democrat like Obama, but does it really matter? Folks, can we rescue America from these agents of destruction? I'm not sure, but we have to fight. We have to try. We have to tell the truth until the very day we're taken away by the Lord. And I'm going to do it. Will you join me in this campaign, this battle, this war against the political chameleons and lying lizards? I pray you will. Well, this has been Tex Mars. You've been listening to another edition of Power of Prophecy. And it's my fervent hope and prayer that you'll tune in each week on shortwave radio or on powerofprophecy.com and discover the power of prophecy.